gotta change. I cannot do this sin no more, no other way. Said I was done, but again I'm down in my mess. It's the flesh I have chosen. Man, Lord, I need you to change me and rearrange me. I can't do it by myself, no. I need you to change me, yeah, and rearrange me, 'cause I can't do it by myself, no, yeah. You gave me grace, and you said that it is sufficient, and I took advantage. Yeah. I've read your word, and you said to flee from temptation, but I ran right to it. Oh, I need you to change.
Thank you all for tuning in to yet another episode of Faith and Fashion Sit Down with Style and Grace. It's your boy Dellen Walker, CEO and founder of Style and Grace LLC. Now guys, on today we have an amazing show lined up for you all today. I have an amazing guest on my show today, which I'll be revealing later on in the show. But today we're going to talk a little bit about the BET Awards and everything Black excellence. But first off, I want to congratulate BET for celebrating 19 years of highlighting African Americans in the entertainment industry. Also, we're going to be talking about Beyonce receiving the Humanitarian Award, Jennifer Hudson honoring Aretha Franklin and those that have lost their lives to gun violence. Also, Kiara Sheard and Karen Clark Sheard's stellar performance singing her number one song, which charted on Billboard, Something Has to Break. So guys, I'm super excited to be talking to you all. I'm actually in Chicago conducting business with somebody that I'm super excited to bring on the show. To you all that don't know him, his name is LaShawn Brown. And just kind of give you all a background on him, he was raised on the south side of Chicago. He is a singer and songwriter who has taken what God has called him to do with heart. On both sides of his family, being heavily involved in church and in music, he couldn't run from the call on his life. LaShawn Brown started ministry in 2016 and has made an impact around the world, singing and sharing the story behind his music. In a short time, LaShawn has been blessed with the opportunity to perform with and in front of a variety of mainstream artists, such as Jonathan McReynolds, Kiara Sheard, Ty Tribbett, Todd Delaney, Dietrich Haddon, Cat'n Jones, and the list has continued to grow as he travels the nation. LaShawn is on a daily mission to make the name of Jesus famous at any cost. Today's generation is looking for real answers, transparency, and honest responses to real life issues. At a time when many youth are stepping away from the church, either because they aren't finding answers or they don't feel as if they can relate or match up to the standards that the church teaches, LaShawn is a new voice who is bridging the gap and sharing his story through music and ministry. Guys, give it up for LaShawn. LaShawn, bro, how you doing today, man?
I'm good, bro.
Good, that's man. Good. I'm super excited to have you on the show.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on, man.
Yes, sir. So, yep. Guys, I met LaShawn maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
I was on Instagram one day. Actually, me and my little god brother, Mook, he was like taking me to work or something, I think. And I was scrolling through Instagram and I ran across Jason Nelson's page.
Oh, yeah.
And Jason Nelson had actually highlighted you on his page.
Yeah.
And he was like, go listen to these up and coming artists or whatever. So I end up, you know, looking at the other artists and I end up clicking on your name. And I went to your single, Change Me. Mm-hmm. And I listened to it and I was like, yo, this joint is fire. Like, I was like, this song, It just ended up ministering to me, like, right there in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it just was, like, life-changing. And I had a launch event coming up, which was on July 27th.
Yeah.
And I end up, you know, reaching out to you in your DM. And I know a lot of artists don't really get back with people that, you know, go into the DM.
Yeah.
So I was like, Lord Jesus, please let him get back with me. And you end up texting me, you know what I'm saying? So I was very grateful for that. Yeah, and I was like, bro, this single is amazing. Can you do it? Mm-hmm. And long story short, guys, he ended up doing the launch event. Like, many lives were changed on that day. So I'm forever grateful to you,
man.
Bro.
Man, thank you, bro. I was definitely a start of a dope friendship. Mm-hmm. You know, I connected with you, your family, and everybody. And I'm just glad God was glorified.
Yes, sir.
That's my ultimate goal, that he be glorified. Whatever I do, so.
And he was that day. Bro. So we will most definitely be bringing you back, man. So what's been going on with you, bro? Like, what's new, man?
Marriage, of course. That's probably one of the top things. Got married last year.
Uh-huh.
Kind of shortly after. I was the newlywed.
You was the newlywed because I was grateful because I remember shouting you and Lydia out.
Yeah.
Because I was like, they did not have to come here. I think it was like a month. Was it like a month after y'all had got married?
Maybe even a little bit lesser. Maybe
less like, than like that.
3 weeks, something like that. We got back from honeymoon. Yeah.
Yeah, that was absolutely amazing. And like, your wife is such a sweetheart.
Yeah,
I remember you were kind of up in your green room, kind of prepping before you performed. Mm-hmm. And she came downstairs to the vendor area. And she was like, do y'all need help with anything?
Start helping, bro.
Yeah, so that just let me know that she has the heart of a servant.
Yeah.
And so do you. Like, y'all, LaShawn was just one of the most laid-back people, very humble, like, and our church has hosted so many artists, even some of the artists that he named in his bio, you know, at our church, you know, for cancer awareness and other things that our church has done for the community. And bro, by far, you were one of the most humblest people that I have ever met. Like, and I just was amazed. And like you said, from that, an amazing friendship and brotherhood has kind of, you know, been formed through that. So I appreciate that so much. So, guys, I won't kind of prolong some of these questions. Y'all, the BET Awards was lit. 19 years.
Yes, sir.
Of highlighting African-American achievements within the entertainment industry. Sometimes I feel like as African-Americans, we don't really get the platform that we deserve. You know what I'm saying? And you being a black male, you know, just in this industry or whatever, I'm sure you can kind of see some of the ups and downs of the industry, bro. And just the fact that they highlighted us, you know, for a long time, really during this pandemic, they still didn't take us off the air because they could have.
Yeah.
If they wanted to, they just kept it going, bro. And I was super excited about that. So hopefully one day we can see you on the BET Awards.
Hey, I'll receive it, bro.
Uh-huh.
I'll be on there. I'm going to shout you out like, hey, my bro said it.
Yeah. I mean, just not to, I didn't prophesy to people. I remember Noisy for God. I don't know if you know Mallory and Noah. They from Chicago.
I'm terrible with names, bro. I probably know them by face.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Noisy for God?
That sounds very familiar, though.
Okay. Yeah. So, they went viral, like, multiple times on social media. So, One day they had came to event at my church mm-hmm. that I was hosting. I was hosting a fashion show to raise funds for our youth department.
Okay.
And like before they got there, so weird, bro. The Lord had gave me a word and he was like, they're going to be at the Stellar Awards in a couple of months. Not knowing anything that they was prepping for. So I called them over to my table and I was like, y'all, I don't know what y'all been praying for or asking for or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, but God said y'all going to be on the Stellar Awards. And they looked at each other. And when they looked at each other, I had kind of felt some type of way because I was like, Lord, I hope that word
am I off?
And I hope that word didn't fall on foul ground. So they looked at each other and they was like, oh, okay. And they kind of just start talking to me, you know, in general conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So a week later, bro, Mallory had ended up texting me and was like, we were in front of a group of people and we didn't want to reveal too much before it's time. And she was like, but the Stellar Awards contacted us to perform at their new artist showcase.
Wow.
And she was like, we'd be performing before, I think it was the Waz group, and a couple other people. And I was like, oh my God, wow. She was like, so with that being said, like, could you style us for the award show?
Wow.
And I was like, yeah. And I was just like thanking God. So I guess I'm saying all of that to say like, hey, who knows? Like,
hey,
within the next year or so, bro, I really might see you on the BET Awards, you know, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully you will be one of those African-American artists that's on the show, you know, glorifying God like Kiara Shear did and Karen Clark Shear did. And
cute.
Bro, I don't know if you got a chance to see their performance, bro. Yeah. They bodied it.
Yeah, and cute, bro.
They killed. And it was just an amazing time to see people like me and you who are mm-hmm. saved and kind of do things with praise and worship that glorify God in our everyday lives. It was just amazing to see somebody like her who is kind of so close to us. And we all consider the Clark sisters and Kiara Shear like our sister or our auntie. So it was just an amazing feeling to be able to see them and to see her perform in that number one single, which charted on Billboard mm-hmm. at the BET Awards. Because we don't see faith-based artists anymore
mm-hmm.
on, like, award shows. They used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
But as time progressed, they ended up taking us out, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the only platform we had was the Stellar Awards and the Dove Awards. All so, right. it was really amazing to see that.
Yeah, bro. I've been saying for a minute, like, that there's a shifting happening,
mm-hmm.
and even with what you say, like how we haven't seen a lot of Christian artists on those big platforms. But if you like really look and just really been, I've been in prayer,
mm-hmm.
and God's been showing me like that there's a shifting happening because people are really hungry,
right,
for God, bro. Especially during the pandemic and just all that's going on, all the crisis, mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter and stuff. People like they're like, man, we need something like to really grab a hold to. So it's dope to like put faith-based music that glorifies Jesus and point them to God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As a source and as a person, as a God who can help us and who cares for us, bro. So, yeah, it was dope, man, to see them represent and on top of them killing vocally.
Yeah.
They you know what I'm saying? So it was like, man, better could it be?
Funny story, like, me and Kiara Shear ain't, like, best friends or whatever.
Yeah.
But she's, like, somebody who I consider myself like to be, you know, like cool with.
Yeah.
For her live recording, she sent me tickets to that because when I first released my brand, It's a Godfidence Thing under my company Style and Grace.
Yeah.
She was one of the ones that had got a T-shirt and shouted me out on her Instagram.
Wow.
So, like, I was very thankful to her. So Kiara Shear has always been a person that I always try to highlight. You know, mm-hmm. on my show, and also congratulations to her, you know, getting engaged. Like, that kind of broke the internet. And
man, folks was mad.
All the dudes, like, all the church dudes was super, like, upset because they was like, man, we've been waiting on Kiara for a long time, but congratulations to her.
Yeah, and I'm happy for her, man. She looks very happy.
Also, like, your your musical director...
Claudio.
Yes.
Yeah, shout out to Claudio, man.
Yes, sir. Shout out to him. Yes, he actually came to the event as well. But I was cracking up because I kind of follow him a little bit on his IG and I see his posts a lot.
Yeah.
And I know how much he was like in love with Kiara. And days like I would go on her post, I would see him calling her bae and stuff like that.
He was hurt, bro.
But we happy for Kiki, though. Man. We happy for Kiki, though.
Nah, bro. We happy for her, man. I it's been long overdue. I've been saying, I'm like, man, Kiara needs to get married, bro.
Right.
And it just came out. I love how they kept it private.
Yeah.
That was the probably the best thing. Because it's like, man, especially at where she's at, she's in the public eye like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, the distractions and just the negativity that right. they would have got. So I like how they kept it private. It's like, boom, look, we're getting married. So, yeah, shout out to Kiki, man.
Yeah, black love and black excellence is something that I always try to highlight on this show. You know what I'm saying? So she is an amazing person.
Yeah.
I've met her multiple times, bro. And it's just like the same energy every time. Like, and not only that, her live recording, bro, was just the littest thing. So, bro, I'm super excited for her. And I can't wait to see everything that God has in store for her. So, guys, the song that you all heard, the intro song to this podcast today was called Change Me by LaShawn. So, bro, can you let the people know, like, where they can download and stream that song and purchase it?
Yeah, so it's on literally all platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Tidal. I think that's how you say it. Tidal,
Tidal, but... So you know black people always got to kind of, you know, put their own twang or something.
Yeah. Amazon, literally everything. Mm-hmm. It's on Google Play as well. So, yeah, download it.
Yes, sir. And y'all, please download it and stream it. Like, let's try to get this mug on Billboard. Like, the song is amazing. Like, and the more we progress into this show, y'all are gonna see, like, kind of what inspired this song is actually the next question up. So, like, what did inspire Change Me, bro?
Man, so where do I start? It started off from me really just writing from a place of desperation to God. My testimony is pretty much all of high school and a little bit of my adult years, I struggled heavy with a porn addiction. And I was introduced to it as a kid by a family member and a friend of mine. So it kind of planted the seed. I remember when I first, it's funny now, I remember when I was at a friend's house and we was just there chilling. He just popped in. This one, tapes was like popular. So he popped in a tape and then a porn came up on the TV and I was like it scared the crap out of me. I remember running home crying like traumatized.
Right.
But I believe it was that moment it really planted a seed of lust inside of me, bro. So of course when I got older and you know my hormones stuff started, you know, going crazy as a teenage boy, the enemy reminded me of those moments, and I remember going on a site, and it started from there. It just became like a ongoing addiction. But in my, like I said, in my adult years, I got tired of it, bro.
Right.
I was like, man, you know, this is satisfying for a moment, but it's not like a satisfaction like this, like ongoing. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, I want to do better. Like, I want to play. I legit love God. I'm like, I need to do better. So I went like literally, bro, like a year. No porn. I was happy. I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of, you know, stopped taking the precautions that I was when I was trying to, you know, get rid of it, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I kind of like let my guard down. I remember one night I messed up, bro. Like, the lust just came on me heavy. Like, I was just the temptation. And I gave in to watching some porn. And I remember afterwards, I just felt like, just, like, terrible, bro. I'm like, God don't love me no more. I messed up. And all this stuff just started running through my head. And literally, God spoke to me in that moment. It reminded me first of scripture that says, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is found through Christ Jesus. And then he reminded me, there's no condemnation.
Yeah.
For those that are in Christ Jesus. I said the first wrong. That nothing can separate us from the love of God. Yeah, I did say it right.
Yeah, you said it right. Yep.
He reminded me of that, bro. And in that very moment, I legit, instead of feeling condemned and separated, I felt closer to God.
Mm.
It was like the best thing ever, bro. I literally felt God come in my room and just begin to love on me.
Wow.
And then he told me to pull out my guitar. I put out my guitar, and the very first words came out of my mouth was, I need you to change me, rearrange me. I can't do it by myself.
Wow.
And God reminded me in that moment that it's not by my strength, but by his strength that I can overcome, you know, any obstacle or anything that I'm going through.
Yes, sir.
So that's how the song was wrote, bro. I didn't want to release.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, this is a fun fact, I did not want to release Change because, wow, I'm like, man, I don't want, as a PK, you know, we head up to a standard,
mm-hmm,
and sometimes I feel like, you know, we really don't care for our own souls because we're so busy trying to be an example for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, man, I don't want nobody knowing that I dealt with porn, and God was like, it's this very, you know, thing that's going to help people because we overcome by the words of our testimony.
Yes, sir.
And so I was like, man, I'm going to just step out on faith. And I did not expect, I didn't put it out for money, for fame, like none of that stuff, bro. But when I put it out, it was just crazy how the doors start opening and people start reaching out to me and start connecting with different, you know, gospel celebrities like Jason Nelson and different people like that. So, yeah, man, I'm excited for, you know, that song and then what's next, bro, like, and what God has been giving me. It's just been, like, crazy. Man.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm going to tell you, like, one of the key points to that song was when you said, what's not like you, oh God, burn it away, take it away.
Yeah.
What's not pleasing to you, burn it away, take it away. Like, that's just so powerful. And even now, like, and I don't know if y'all will be able to, like, feel this through the airwaves or whatever, but, like, the anointing is so strong and, like, you can feel your admiration and your love towards God. Like,
oh, yeah,
you can just see it. Even like when you were performing at my launch event, like, bro, it just wasn't just a performance to be like, okay, let me do what I do. Cause you know, so many up and coming praise and worship leaders, like they got the gifts and talents, they come without repentance.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So it's, I'm a praise and worship leader. And I know that firsthand by, because God anointed me, like I can be in sin, but then when I hit that mic and do what he's called me to do, like folks can still be delivered, healed, and set free. But then I walk away from the mic and be feeling like so unsatisfied. And the blessed part is that you can tell that your heart was in that song. Like just when the song started off, like when I heard it, that simple, I gotta change. Like you can hear the conviction. And bro, It didn't only impact people that dealt with, you know, porn and masturbation, bro. It helped people that dealt with identity confusion, you know, that dealt with infidelity, that dealt with so many other things, bro.
Yeah.
It helped people, like the response from the young people that I got from the church when they told me about that song, bro, it was just amazing. And I prayed like for that song and just even for whatever else God is gonna do through you, that God just continues to take it, you know, on a new level. Because bro, you already connected to some amazing people, like you under the Winstons, you know what I'm saying? Like you under some amazing teaching, bro. So I just pray that God continues to elevate you. And like, y'all, I'm in his crib right now, and you know he's saved. Like, this dude got like every Bible and just everything lined up. So like, you can feel the presence of God in this house, bro.
Wow.
Like, and that's how you know, like, you saturate this place with worship. And that's a beautiful thing, bro.
Wow.
That is an amazing thing. So I'ma just continue to go on, you know, with these questions, y'all, because I can sit up and just talk about just other stuff all day. So that's an amazing song. Y'all make sure y'all download that, stream it as much as possible. Bro, that song is actually in my favorite song playlist, bro.
What?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's yes, crazy. Sir. I made sure I purchased it. You know what I'm saying? Because I believe in gospel music. You know what I'm saying? And I'm working on some stuff right now. But, bro, yeah. I believe in your ministry, bro.
Wow.
And I just believe that God is just going to catapult you and continue to take you to a new level and new heights in him, bro. So,
let's continue to
support the ministry of LaShawn Brown. So my next question is, how did that song change me, change you and your outlook on ministry, bro?
That's a good question. I think, because even as you was talking, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. I think, and now I understand why. I think the outlook of just the transparency of ministry, and really just going back to that scripture that we overcome by the words of our testimony. I think by releasing that song changed me. It really allowed me like to see the fruits of being open and really being I feel like real people know real people, especially young people.
Yeah.
They can look at you and a lot of, I mean, when I was young, I can look on stage, I'd be like, all right, they singing, but they not,
right.
You know, they not really, you know, and it's right. not in a judgmental thing, but
yeah.
I feel like the world is hungry for real authentic people. With so yes, much sir. Fake stuff going around, especially in ministry. And I feel like God is fed up with that, bro.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the realness of this song, like just the transparency of it, of not, you know, saying how perfect you are or, you know, I'm doing this or I'm doing that, but really saying like, God, I need to be changed. You know right. what I'm saying? And it's like a thing of like really just having a relationship with Christ to the point where you can even ask that question. So I think for me, like with the outlook on life and ministry is first having a relationship with God and being transparent, even in my own personal life. I feel like the most important ministry before I can reach anybody out in the world is making sure that I'm good.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Making sure that my life is lining up. I tell people all the time, I feel like the most important ministry is what you do off stage. It's not what you do on stage. Because you can, like you said, you put on the front. I've had moments, you know, where I wasn't living right and I was still singing, you know, and I was still worshiping and stuff, but it wasn't coming from a pure place. You know what I'm saying? So I would get off stage doing the same old stuff. You know what I'm saying? And then get back on stage and people are like, oh my God, you know, because they think that you just is, you know,
right,
but it's not like that, bro. So
if people don't understand, bro, like I think praise and worship leaders have one of the toughest jobs. I got put over a praise team maybe like 3 years ago, and it was, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, bro. But, you know, of course, my question was, like, how did it change you in your outlook on ministry, bro? Like, for me, it's the weirdest thing. It's like when I would go through certain trials, that's when I would kind of be, like, at my best. Far as leading worship, which is, like, the weirdest thing. And then it's like when I would be trying, like, the enemy would always fight me tooth and nail. And I would feel like I'm not doing my best, like, you know, on that platform that God has given me. So for me, like you said, I just had to get to a place where I was just like, okay, I'm tired of doing me. You know what I'm saying? And I really need to put action behind what I'm saying, you know, because that's kind of what it boils down to. Because you got so many people that just kind of do it because it's like being a praise and worship leader, it's almost like being a popular kid in high school. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody kind of want to be us a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And everybody desires that platform. So for you to actually take that serious, bro, and be like, you know what? This is ministry, just like preaching, just like going on the corners, evangelizing, and you not taking the platform that God has given you and saying, you know what? I'm better than this or that, bro, but you actually take it and just use it to the best of your ability. Like, bro, I just applaud that so much because, like you said, looking up to people, and it's so crazy because on my way here, me and my little brother was talking about how we can tell certain people who just do it just because. You know what I'm saying? And we can look at them and say they good, but I don't feel like no authenticity behind what they're saying. You know what I'm
saying?
There's
a difference between singing and somebody who carries the glory behind what they do, bro. I always want to make sure that, I mean, I can sing. I can do a run.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know.
Really well.
I appreciate it, bro. But like, I just feel like, you know, that's cool. But our lives being impacted, our people being free. Because honestly, I feel like worship, like leading worship, probably one of the most important parts of the service.
Of the service, bro.
Because you like legit, you're setting a tone. Because you don't know what people dealing with. You don't know what strongholds is over people. So I really take it serious. I'm like, man, I need to really, you know, be sensitive, because you don't know who need this. And it's biblical. Mm-hmm. In the Bible, they sent the worshipers. They sent the Levites before the
armies. Bro, talk about it. They put them on the front line,
And they did most of the damage.
Yes.
Why? Because it was showing that we're not doing this in our own strength, but we're bringing God before our situation. So it's like in service, with worship, what we're doing, we're putting God in the forefront. We're giving praise to Him to allow Him to move. So you got a lot of people who worship and do and entertain, and then they wonder why it's their service is not being impactful, or you know, Holy Spirit is not moved, because you didn't put, you know, God first. And one thing I emphasize on my team is to not worship God from a place of our emotions, because some people think that worship is crying, is singing, and all. And worship is not just music either.
No.
It's only an attribute.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Worship is a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
It's the heart posture and everything. Because I feel like a lot of people think, oh, because he crying, you know,
he feeling.
I remember being in worship.
Talk to him about emotionalism, because now you talking for real.
Yeah, I remember being like in worship before I came into the true understanding. You know, God been. You know, even still, just learning, it's depths of worship, it's levels. So I was just like, man, I remember getting there and just thinking about like circumstances or situations, and I cry because of that, versus crying and worshiping God despite of what I'm going through.
That's worshiping.
It's like, look, I know I got bills, I know I got other stuff, but God, you're still worth. I'm still worshiping you. I'm still put my attention and focus on you. And I think when we get the true understanding of that, and I really feel like that the generation that's coming up is the worshiping generation.
Yeah.
Like, literally. And I feel like that's why they're attacked so much. Mm-hmm. And there's such a spirit of rejection that the enemy tries to put on the generation that's up next. But I'm going to let you go, because I can go.
No, bro, it's good. And this is what I love about Faith and Fashion, Sit Down with Style and Grace, because this show, we talk about fashion, but of course, due to lockdowns, it ain't been no red carpets or anything like that. So it ain't been much a big part of relevancy on this show. So like the only thing I've been able to talk about, you know, is faith. And it might be like that for the rest of this season, you know, just because I don't think things will ever go back to normal after this. But like, God is just so much into this interview. Bro, we forgot to pray before we started, but how amazing God is, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so much confirmation, because at the beginning of the year, I don't know if you've seen that, but I had end up getting the virus, like, when this pandemic had broke out, bro.
Really?
Yes, sir. And one of the things that God had dealt with me with, was when you started talking about how he sent the worshipers on the front line or whatever. And they had sung. He had told them, it was in Exodus, was it? Or Leviticus. It was somewhere in that New Testament, at the beginning of the New Testament. And I was reading about that, because I can't really go into it because I really don't remember the story how I want to. But what you just said, it was confirmation. Because at the beginning, God told me, he said, I'm sending a generation of young people who is going to worship me in spirit and in truth. You know what I'm saying? And everything that you just said, bro, just kind of lined up from my first episode, bro.
Wow.
Like, and I don't know if you listened to the first episode or not of this new season, but bro, you tapping into such a vein, bro.
That's crazy.
And it's so amazing. And that's why I love God so much.
Yeah.
Because I really feel like this episode right here is probably going to be one of my best episodes. But it's going to free a lot of people. And it's going to open up a lot of people's understanding. And the words say, he that has the ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's not specifically those that are in the building, but the church, us. You know, the body. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So, bro, everything that you are saying is just impacting so many people that's probably going to be listening, you know, to this podcast when it's released, bro. And you're going to free so many people. So, bro, we gonna move on, but bro, like,
glory to God.
I wish y'all was here right now. Like, this dude is such, he's more than just a praise and worship leader. And it's the difference between a worship leader and a psalmist. You have the gift of psalm.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked that up when you had sung at my event. When you have the gift to be a psalmist, it's when you open up your mouth and yokes are automatically destroyed in the spirit realm. You know what I'm saying? And bro, not everybody has that. You have some people that can lead worship like no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have the gift to be a psalmist, bro, a psalmist is who God has called to actually deliver people. And God gives you songs in the prophetic.
Yep.
And that's what changed me was he gave it to you at a certain time in your life. But when it was time for you to release it, it was to prophesy to people who might be going through some of those same tests and trials, bro. So, y'all, this is so good. Like, I ain't gonna go off in tongues right now because probably not everybody on here understands that. But this is some amazing stuff, y'all. Like, this dude is on a whole nother level. Like, I don't even think y'all understand. But just by me being in his home and me feeling the presence and the power of God and the anointing, because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. And even just everything that he previously said, like me and my little brother yesterday, we had a conversation in our hotel room about some things that we kind of want God to continue to do in us and with us. And like just now, bro, just by everything you have been saying has just destroyed even more yokes and tied to things that, you know, I probably been dealing with. So, bro, thank you.
All right, most definitely, bro.
Thank you. So, bro, when can we get an EP or an album? Because that's what I'm waiting on. Like, Change Me has, you know, helped me for a whole year. But, bro, I'm ready for some fire, bro. Like, I just be listening to your covers that you do on IG and stuff like that, and how you can take just maybe a song that was categorized as secular and turn it into like a gospel song, bro. That's dope, bro. And I admire that. So when can we get some more music from LaShawn Brown? Like,
So I've been working on an album. EP. On the EP. I'll spill the beans. It's still going to be a 2-part EP.
Yes, sir.
And then I won't give the exact date, but it's releasing in August.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's going to be dope, man. It's been...
And you'll be down in Muskegon in August. So will we get to hear, like, the new stuff or...
I'll get some new stuff down there.
Okay.
It's definitely different, man. My prayers to God is I never want to sound like nobody else on the radio. And one thing that I pray even will change me is I want to release timeless music.
Yeah.
Music that can play literally years from now. It's still relevant. You think about, I don't know, bro, I just feel like, you know, you hear like stuff like, I know this is not a Christian song, but like the Temptations or like Michael Jackson and stuff. Yeah. That's timeless music. It's that you can listen to. Literally, our kids probably gonna know what that stuff is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they kids. So I was like, man, you know, I serve a God who is like the creator of creation, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, why not do this for like the kingdom?
You know
what I'm saying? So I've been really praying that God give me timeless music that will literally break chains years from now.
Yes, sir.
So it's been some dope stuff. It's different. I think people like really expecting, you know, that soft sound or like
yeah.
But bro, some stuff with 808s on it.
Yes, sir.
Like legit where it's like, Real versatile. Uh-huh.
Are you working with anybody on this EP, or is it just you just showing, like, your gifts and talents on this mug?
Yeah, so it's not, like, well-known people. It's, mm-hmm. like, people who I feel like are next.
Right.
And really are really where God is trying to take the new sound. So I've been really just intentional, like, with praying and picking people mm-hmm. who I feel like is the next. Yeah. But I produced a lot of the stuff on here.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know, I'm an engineer and producer as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to go to school for. Mm-hmm. I went to school for a few.
Yeah.
But that's what I legit wanted to do. I didn't want to be on stage, mm-hmm. in the front. I wanted to be in the background, mixing people, music, producing. And God was like, no.
Yeah.
So it's like, kind of like, now I'm kind of like a producer, engineer, and artist at the same time.
Right. And I'm sure it probably saved you a buttload of money too.
Man, people understand, bro. We put out music,
uh-huh.
and it'd be like $1 for a single.
Yeah.
But it costs like $1,000.
Bro.
All together. You know what I'm saying?
Trust me, like, just to mix it. I'm not in that part, because I'm like those that follow my podcast and stuff. I'm kind of doing something with that. It's not going to be singing though. So.
Okay.
Like, just by me having a business, an LLC, and mm-hmm. I'm working on something else, bro, it's not cheap, bro. Like,
it's not, bro.
I sell a t-shirt for like $20, but bro, sometimes the shirts cost $11 if you want a good quality t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Then I got to pay somebody to make it. So, bro, I most definitely understand how it can be. And really, if people don't support it, you kind of lost. And I don't think people understand how much gospel music is part of a business. It's actually a business. Yes, it's ministry, mm-hmm. but it's still a business. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. people gotta understand that. And that's mm-hmm. why I always try to highlight, you know, gospel artists, because sometimes y'all have to work that much more harder. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, and we know the race ain't given to the swift nor the battle to the strong, but
come on, man.
Y'all have to work that much more harder. Like, y'all have to tour that much more. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all just gotta grind. Y'all really be out here grinding, mm-hmm. bro. So I applaud you, bro, for everything that, you know what I'm saying, you are doing with everything. Like, it's absolutely amazing.
I appreciate
it. So, as y'all know, we've been on lockdown, right?
Yeah.
So, bro, name three things that you've learned about yourself during this lockdown. Like, it can be anything. Like, you could have learned, like, maybe I don't like this kind of jean, or maybe I don't like this kind of tennis shoe, or something like that. Like, just name three fun things that maybe those that are listening can relate to, that you as an artist and just as a person in general have learned during quarantine.
Man, one, I need to learn how to cook more. I would say that, bro. Yeah, I know how to cook a few things.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I always said I wanted to be a husband who didn't put all that weight on my wife. I wanted to to be like a balanced thing. So,
mm-hmm.
Definitely I've learned how to cook a few things mm-hmm. during the pandemic. Spiritual wise, man, just being upgraded, bro. Mm-hmm. I keep telling people, like all my homies and my friends and everybody that I'm in contact with, like, after the pandemic, after this shutdown is over, I want to come out upgraded. Like, when people notice, like, man, bro, you, something different about you, mm-hmm. you know? So I've really been utilizing this time to really just pray, and hear, you know, what God is saying, just to get him to, you know, give me ideas, plans, goals, just different things like that. So I've been really planning a lot. And the third thing I would say is, man, I think a lot of what I've been doing is, I guess, exercising,
mm-hmm.
trying to get my body right, man. You know,
y'all gotta forgive me because I started off, bro, but
you good, bro. You, bro.
That's the thing. People think that I'm a type 1 diabetic.
Okay.
Like, I right now probably weigh like 164, and I really supposed to be like at 140 something.
Okay.
And like with diabetics, the more we gain weight, fat sticks on our bodies, but it don't go like to other places where your weight might go. Mine's go in my abdomen, mm-hmm. abdominal area. So like, and that's where I insert my insulin. So sometimes it's harder for my blood glucose levels to come down and be regulated.
Yeah.
So I kind of got to work that much more harder, like make sure I drink water, like that much more, which I should be doing. But bro, this quarantine, man, I've been eating good. Like, you talk about you not knowing how to cook, bro. I probably can teach you some lessons, bro. Like,
hey, I need it, bro.
Crab boils and
oh yes, sir.
All of that stuff been like my best friend. Like, I love chicken that much more. Like,
and I don't know nobody. You know, I'm not being racist. Who's black? Who don't? Mm-hmm. If you don't like chicken, yeah. I was just like, bro. You need prayer deliverance.
Like, but bro, like, I know how to cook greens now. Like, yeah. I never knew how to cook hot water cornbread. My grandmother raised me.
Yeah.
So I used to watch her all the time cooking those things. And like, I just know how to do everything. And I'm like, wow. It's a blessing, but it's a curse, bro. Because I just be at the store just buying stuff, bro. And I'm like, Dylan, you don't need this. So, y'all, I got, like, super fat on this quarantine. But it is what it is, bro. Man. God is still good. And
y'all just been trying to get back right, man. Marriage weight is a real thing, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And I just want to be right. One, for photo shoots and stuff I got coming up.
Right.
But also, as well, just like, you know, Bible says to, you know, take care of your temple.
Yeah, you know, most definitely, bro.
I want to be, you know, be able, especially when more doors open up towards stuff like that, that I'm at a place healthy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm at a healthy place where I can handle singing multiple nights. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're not healthy, bro, that is tiring. People don't understand, like, my wife, she's not an artist or nothing like that. So I would come home after singing and just be like, yo, I'm tired. She's like, babe, you just sung. I'm like, babe, you don't understand, especially singing and then ministering. That draws so much out of you. You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't understand. So, like, I just want to make sure that my body is at a place where, you know, I'm able to, like, handle all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to look nice, bro. Like,
yeah.
Take my shirt off at the beach.
That part, you know, bro, I don't always want to be the guy on the beach.
With a t-shirt.
Or it's, like, my homeboys and my homegirls that, like, work out. They can show off their body and stuff, and I'm just like, bro. Oh, okay, I'm still fresh, though. You know what I'm saying? But I got on my shirt. Like, I want to be able to go on the beach and jog with my shirt off and not feel so insecure. Bro, I totally know where you are at.
Yeah.
But speaking, because you've been highlighting, you know, your marriage a little bit throughout this show, bro. Like, how has marriage added to you, like, for those maybe that are engaged or newlyweds or even those that are just married, that have been married, like, bro, like, how happy have you been? Because I'm just looking at your photos and stuff, and, like, you can see him and his wife are, like, the cutest couple I've personally ever met. Like, they are so beautiful, and I love couples, bro, and weddings where, like, you can look at it on the phone or something and be like, oh, they really happy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like you said earlier about being able to look and discern at, like, a worship leader whose heart is not really in it, you can really look at a married couple and see, like, if they ain't happy, like, you'll be like, they cute or whatever, but that ain't goals for you. You know what I'm saying? So when I look at you and your wife, like, even at this picture that I'm looking at right now, I can, like, see, like, y'all really are in love with each other. And not only that, you can really see how God brought y'all together. So, bro, like, how has that, I can just see that you are in such a joyous place, bro. Like, how has Lydia added to you? And I hope I'm saying her name right.
Yeah, you saying
okay,
her name.
Okay, I am. Okay, yeah. I love you, girl, when you listen to this. But, like, how has she added to you and even to your career in ministry and everything, bro? Like, how has that catapulted you to a new level?
Yeah, man. Well, I always say when I picked my wife, I picked for where I was going, not where I was. So I knew I had to pick somebody who was, because I feel like a lot of people get married for where they are, but it's like, man, once you really understand where God is taking you, then you get to that place and you're looking at your spouse like, bro, I don't even know you. You know what I'm saying? Right. You at a whole nother place, you know. So, like, I had to pick somebody who was there, who was good for where I was and for where I was going.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I could have both of those. But, man, it's that scripture about favor is so real, man.
He
like
finds a wife, finds a good it, thing, bro, and it is favor from the Lord.
Yep, it like it is so real, man. Like I can't even count on my fingers, bro. The doors that have opened up, even like during the pandemic, because a lot of you know artists suffered during the pandemic. Because bro, I had like conferences and a lot of stuff that just you know got canceled because of the you know the shutdown. And I firmly believe it's because of my wife that God like sustained us, bro. Like I feel like this season it really took me to a new level of faith.
Yeah.
And trusting in God and really realizing that money is not my source. But it's just seed and that God is my source of income. Like literally, bro, like during the pandemic, I mean people would just hit me up. I said legit just hit me up and just asked for my cash out, $10,000.
Whoa.
Literally, bro, just like
Jesus.
God laid you on my heart. Like, literally, somebody hit me up. It was, like, 2 in the morning, bro. And I just so happened to be woke and was praying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, God, you know, I got savings, but I want to touch into savings. I want to, you know, like, God, just, you know, provide. I trust you, you know. Literally, bro, like, minutes after that, get a text. Hey, bro, are you woke? I'm like, yeah. Send me your cash app. I'm like, okay. Sent it to him. God told me to woke. God legit just woke me up. Told me to give you something. Okay, I think it's about to be like, you know, $100 or something. Like
right.
That. Which is still good. I'm not.
Right,
you
know, yes.
Anything. Like, but when I seen $1,000, I'm like, what? And this happened like 3 times, bro.
Jesus.
Literally during the pandemic. So I believe stuff like that, favor that comes in your life, bro, when you marry and when you guys are one and unified, it's crazy, bro. One thing me and her stand on is prayer. That's probably why you feel God in here, bro. We stand. We got a prayer wall.
Yes. Y'all don't understand. I love, because I've been blessed enough to have a lot of artists support my brand. Mm-hmm. From J Moss, Jonathan Nelson, me and Randy Weston from Judah Band, good friends. He been supporting me even before all those other artists supported.
Wow.
Kiara Shear, Jabari Johnson, like, and the list kind of goes on and on with people that have supported Style and Grace. But bro, it's very rare when I meet artists that genuinely have a heart for God. You know what I'm saying? And bro, like I said before, you can just tell, like, this y'all house is y'all sanctuary. Like, bro, like, this y'all place really is the place of Bethel. Like, God dwells in this place, man. And y'all are so blessed, and it's super amazing.
Man, bro.
But one thing I did want to highlight, you said something that kind of stuck out to me when you said how during this pandemic, how you were able to realize that, you know, the ministry that you do is just not about is not about just receiving money and how God really is the source.
He's the source, bro.
So, so many people, when they are gospel artists that I have witnessed, was like, I can't do this event for you unless you pay me $10,000, $20,000, depending on which caliber you are. And you said how this pandemic could have affected you, but God has sustained it through this. What advice can you give to a artist that's coming up, whether they're gospel or whether they're not? Because not everybody that listens to this podcast, some people listen to it for fashion tips.
Yeah.
What can you give to a person that's an artist in general, bro, that only do it just to get a quick check and look and say, oh, I can make some money off this. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just paid me 3 racks just to perform at their event. What advice, bro, can you give them to say, bro, do it for passion, or sis, do it for passion because you love to do it and because your heart is in it? Like, what advice can you give to them, bro?
I feel like, one, it won't last, bro. When you take away the passion and the main reason why, you know, my why is, you know, from the beginning, and I make sure I keep people around me to make sure that I keep this vision. My main reason is always to make Jesus' name famous.
Yeah.
I tell people that all the time. Like, wherever I go, I want to be invisible, and I want people to see God. And as an artist, like, you know, I have a, you know, I do believe people should be paid for what they do.
Most,
you
know, definitely.
I don't agree with ministries, you know, who be like, if they can do it. And they'd be like, no, you know, you you should be doing. You should just be offering up your service because you a Levite and this just show you're supposed to be doing this for God. But you
and
know,
they forget. Paul said they take that scripture out of context. When he was traveling to do ministry, Paul said, of course he knows how to be humble and how to be abased and how to have and how not to have. He knew all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But bro, when he said, when I go to this place of ministry, bro, if they don't receive me, I wipe the dust off my feet and I go to the next. He was meaning, bro, first of all, he said, if y'all are calling me to come do ministry, if God truly told y'all to bring me there, y'all are going to have everything that I need.
Bro, everywhere Paul went, he had somewhere to stay.
Somewhere to stay.
He had food. And if you look at the different prophets in the Bible, bro, like Samuel, these different prophets, they didn't have to want for anything, bro.
Anything, bro.
People offer up their cribs. I'm urban. They offer up their houses and everything.
They offered up their cribs. It is what it is.
And food. Like, you want some food? Like
yes.
And I think people understand because the Bible don't specifically say money or so like that. You got to understand currency was different back in the Bible.
So
their currency is a whole different thing. People offering up their homes, so like that was a form of what we get today as a check.
Yes, you know, sir.
And the Levites were taken care of. Why? Because they wanted them to be able to focus on what? The ministry. They didn't want them to have to be worrying about bills or other things. They wanted them to be at a place where, all right, we here to worship God.
Yeah. If they're not able to be at home and they always doing ministry. So he said, look, if they don't receive me, which he meant, if they don't have, because look, I'm the type line up, precept on precept, a little here, a little there.
Yeah.
When I studied my word, when I seen that, I was like, okay, not that I won't, if God put it on my heart, like you said, to do something for free or something like that, I know how to be obedient to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. But bro, if they don't receive me and if they cannot do what's required, bro, Paul said, you dust your feet off and you go to where they do receive you. Mm-hmm. And bro, with your ministry, bro, never shortchange yourself because I had a friend and I was talking to them about being an entrepreneur and stuff like that. And I think when we are a Christian entrepreneurs like me and yourself, people automatically expect like you should do everything for free or little to nothing, bro.
Yeah.
And the Bible say the blessings of the Lord, what maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Mm-hmm. If God has blessed me and put me in this position to be able to use my gifts and talents to add to the kingdom, bro, I should not be weary and broken down every time I do it, bro.
Yeah.
That is not God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bro, that is not God at all. Like, bro, what he blessed me with, I should be able to sustain it, bro. Mm-hmm. And not only that, I should be able to go into the secular world and use my gifts and talents for the same reason and be even more blessed, bro. Like, the world, they take care of their people, bro. So we as a people in the body of Christ, we got to stop trying to get over all the time.
Yeah.
And I know that just was kind of a commercial break, but bro, we got to quit doing that, bro.
That's good, bro.
Yeah.
That's good. I also feel like, too, like, you know, if you, this is probably going to turn a lot of heads. Because I firmly believe
it is
this,
what
bro.
It is, though.
I feel like if you're going to ask for this amount of money, it should be a reason why. You know what I'm saying? So if you're asking for, I'm going to just throw it out, $10,000, you should be coming, like, I should feel God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah.
I feel like, you know, I don't believe in wasting money as well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like it should be a thing of, that's why I make sure, like I said, bro, I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. I still have my things. I'm not, even going back to that question about the pandemic, I mean, you know, what I've been doing during the lockdown, I've noticed, like, I can grow and spend more time with you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, I feel like if you're paying somebody $10,000, if somebody paying me $10,000, I'm making sure that I'm bringing the glory with me.
Most
you know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
I'm not just coming for a check. And you can tell people who come just for a check or just to do this, just do that.
I see. They be in and out, bro. Yeah. I'm telling you.
And,
they play that track.
Mm-hmm.
Three songs on the track. Boom. We go.
Yep. And you can always tell, too, like, people who truly do it for God and and they truly have a passion to really bless people, because they even if you if even if a church can't so like if I'm if my rate is $10,000 and I'm going and a smaller church is asking for you know me to come and I know that they can't handle that
right
and they say we can do this my response always is what one is to pray before any engagement I pray mm-hmm. you know if somebody asks to I don't care who it is so Kira Shit and her church can reach out to me today. And I'm gonna respond with, hey, I'm gonna pray about it, see what the Lord say. Because mm-hmm. I always want to be in a place where God wants me.
Right.
But it's also a thing of, you know, it's not always about money. You know what I'm saying? It's been engagements where I gave them my rate mm-hmm. and they couldn't meet that rate. But I was okay, well, you know, what can you do? You know what I'm saying? Because I felt led to do it. I felt God leading me, you know what I'm saying, to that place right. to minister.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing to any artist would be to yes, of course, have your rate, you know, and to, you know, be paid for what you do, but let your ministry line up with that pay rate.
Yes, sir.
And then also as well, be prayerful, man. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Every engagement, you know, people don't understand too the power of serving.
Mm.
They don't understand that, bro. Yeah. Like literally, it's been places where I didn't get paid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I felt led to go. But it was a door that opened up that from was that. Big
yeah.
from that engagement. Because it was somebody there that they didn't even know. I remember it was an engagement that I went to. And it wasn't a paid one. Mm. And I was like, you know, it's all good. I still want to, you know, minister and whatever. And at that engagement was a celebrity gospel artist.
Mm.
And they connected with me through that engagement that was free. Wow. So I always tell people, like, you got people who want to go through multiple doors, but if you go through that one door, it mm-hmm. may be a million doors behind that one door.
Yeah.
So I think people, you know, go for, you know, oh, well, they can't pay me this, so I'm not going to do it. And it's like, bro, be prayerful. Mm-hmm. See what God is saying. This legit may be a connection.
Yeah.
A door that may be opened up for you to, you know what I'm saying, do other things. So that would be my advice, bro. Stay prayed up
mm-hmm.
And allow the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm saying, to guide you. It's not always about money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I said, that's one thing that I truly have learned in this season, bro. You know, because I'm full-time ministry.
Yeah.
You know, so it's mm-hmm. like, man, that's cool. That's not my source. That's seed for me to tithe and to plant seed and everything mm-hmm. like that. But, God, you're my source.
Yeah.
You know my needs. You know what I'm saying? And if I'm building your kingdom, you're going to take care of me.
Yeah.
You know, so...
That's awesome, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So, bro, within the next 5 years of, you know,
mm-hmm.
marriage, and which I know God is going to bless y'all with many, many more,
mm-hmm.
if he shall tarry. but where do you see yourself far as marriage and ministry, music-wise? Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself, like, within the next 5 years?
Yeah, man... I've ran from it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely in some pastoral position.
Wow.
And not in a thing of like lead, like being a pastor over a church, but like a worship pastor.
Yeah.
Something to that extent. I definitely feel like God has lead me into that vein of really not just being an artist, but being one who helps raises up other people and knowing, you know, the trueness of worship.
Yeah.
And really, you know, shepherding people mm-hmm. in their gifts and stuff like that. So definitely, yeah, in some type of like worship leading.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, worship pastor position.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll be in Chicago still, bro. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Definitely traveling the world. Definitely more, like a lot of albums by the end.
Yeah.
For sure.
Most definitely.
And definitely some kids, man. I want kids bad. We really at a place where we were just trying to get ourselves right. Student loans paid off, you know what I'm
right.
saying? Stuff like that, making mm-hmm. sure that we had a place to, because kids are expensive. But,
oh.
You said, oh.
I got a billion nieces and nephews, man. And
they're not even yours, but they're expensive. I swear,
it's a birthday every month. Like, and then just a lot to deal with. And,
yeah,
like,
bro.
You already have an extensive schedule now with traveling and, you know, people reaching out to you all the time to mm-hmm. do stuff, bro. So you being a dad and yeah. a husband, like,
it's a lot, bro.
It's a lot. And just like, how do you balance that though with being a full-time husband and just a full-time artist, like, because artistry, that's your life, like, bro.
Yeah.
How do you balance that? Like, because I look at an artist's schedule, and y'all always on the road, and before this pandemic happened, like, I seen you kind of all over the place. You were doing some amazing stuff, like, so how do you balance that, and, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how does it go with being a newlywed and stuff like that? Like,
yeah, what one is having an assistant. So I'm terrible with time, bro, and remembering stuff sometimes. So I knew I needed an assistant to really keep me organized. But as far as with marriage, instantly when I got married, roles changed. Yeah. So now, you know, my ministry and stuff, that doesn't come before my wife.
Awesome.
My wife is, that's my first ministry, my home. So if that's not in order, then God can't trust me with, you know what I'm saying, the ministry of out there.
And bro, how old is you?
25.
Listen, this dude is talking, bro, you talking good. It's some, bro, okay, yeah. they get the idea.
yeah, bro, I don't know, man, I just, you know, I want to be, bro, I firmly believe God is calling me to be a trailblazer.
Yeah.
And to really establish back good foundations, especially because I feel like young black men in church and PKs, we have such a bad name, and I want to change that, like, to really just tell, like show people, like, man, everybody not the same, and God is rising up a new generation, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I refuse to put ministry, I grew up in the church, so I seen my granddad, I seen my dad, you know, put church before, you know what I'm saying, the family.
Yeah.
And that's not biblical, bro.
Yeah.
It's not.
That's
not biblical. It should be God, your wife, your kids, then it should be your ministry. You know what I'm saying? So
it's that umbrella, bro.
That's how it should be, man. But but yeah, so I make sure that my wife and my home is first, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And if I take care of that, and people understand, man, when God's blessed you with a spouse, especially husbands, like, when you take care of, this is a gift God has given you. So when you take care of that, bro, God will bless you, because now you're stewarding. It's a thing about stewarding your marriage. Like, you're stewarding, you know what I'm saying, and taking care of what God has blessed you with. So God, okay, now I can trust you, because you're taking care of this ministry.
Mm.
Now I can trust you with this. So now I'm at, you know, continue to add on.
Yeah.
To your other ministry. So it's definitely, and I'm still learning, bro. It's taking prayer, really seeking God on how to balance that, because it can be a lot, bro.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Handling, you know, a home. And I don't even have kids yet. So it's like,
right,
when I get shorties, I'm gonna definitely need, like, you know, prayer. And
yeah.
But, you know, when that time comes, God will give you a new level of being able to handle that stuff. So
yeah. Well, if you ever in Michigan with the kids, Uncle Dylan got them. So.
Oh, for sure. I'm going to drop them off. We gone.
Yes, sir. Bro, so, like, you and we've covered so many amazing things as far as music, family, ministry, and just goals and stuff. So, like, back to the music part of it, bro. Is there, name, like, two artists that you would love to collaborate with?
Ooh. that is tough, bro.
Like, or let's say, so you get ready to release the EP in August for your debut album. Name two artists, like, it can be anybody that you, if you could just have them on your stuff, who would it be?
So I feel like people are think cliche, like, oh, he Todd Langdale, because I love them people. I love Christian gospel artists.
Right.
I think out the box, I think about reaching the world.
Yeah.
If I can get a Justin Bieber and Chris Brown to do a Christian song with me, bro.
Yeah.
That'll be nuts.
That'll
bro.
Be lit. Because I'm all for it, though, because I believe he that reaches souls, you got to be wise, for one. And I think sometimes so many people in the church and us as Christians in general, we have a hard time accepting that God can use anybody.
Bruh,
God used the donkey to tell somebody that something was getting ready to happen the Bible.
Talk to him. He literally turned around. Bro, talk to him. I would have freaked out.
Freaked out. Not only that, let's just be real. Like, God has used so many things to use as signs that may not have been, you know what I'm saying, your ideal type of thing far as ministering, bro. One day I was at work. This lady was playing mad scratch-offs, bro. Mad scratch-offs. I'm talking about her appearance. You just wouldn't have thought salvation when you see her. Bro, this woman turned around and was like, the Lord said. And I was like, whoa, what you just say? And you just bought all this money. You know, all these scratch-offs.
Yeah.
Bro, the Lord spoke to her and it was on point, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So you can never just X a person out because you don't look at them. I remember when Tasha Cobbs did the joint with Nicki.
Yeah.
That's the, bro, I don't care what nobody say, that's one of the hardest gospel songs I ever heard. When I do an album, bro, I want to work with Nicki one day. She's cold, bro. She's cold.
Yeah, like, you must understand, bro, like, these people in the world, bro, they were gifted with gifts from God.
From God, and
the enemy just took their gifts and perverted it.
And perverted it,
You look at the industry, bro. It's some of the most talented people, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I know my call, bro, is not to just reach the church, but to really, I want to, my whole ministry is to be a bridge.
A bridge.
I want to legit get people from, you know, like Jesus said, Jesus wasn't hanging with church people.
No.
He was hanging with people from the world, bro, because he said, what? I'm here to get the sick people. I'm not here to get... Y'all good.
What am I
continuing to, you know, talk to y'all for when we're out here to get people who are sick?
Yes, sir.
So it's like, man, just imagine if I did a song. And I firmly believe this. I've received words about Chris Brown and Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I do a song with them, just imagine the impact that would have. Because now you have two worlds colliding. You know, mm-hmm. You got people who follow him like, whoa. Chris Brown is talking about God.
About God,
and Chris Brown is and Justin Bieber were both meant to be worshipers.
Yeah.
Literally. It's all over them. They were meant to be worshipers. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the enemy took their gifts and perverted it. But I firmly believe that we're going into a time, man. I believe we're going into a time of revival like never before.
We are. You even got people like actors. Denzel Washington just proclaimed
crazy
his profession to faith. Like, and you have a lot of famous people that be like, oh yeah, I believe in God and I went to church. Mm-hmm. But this dude was on their own on a huge platform talking about the indwelling and the filling of the Holy Ghost,
speaking
bro.
In tongues.
And speak with the evidence of speaking in tongues, bro.
Yep.
So you are so right. Like, bro, God is really raising up a generation. Not only that, Elevation of Worship, bro. It's so funny you even mentioned Chris Brown. He's on their latest album, bro, like him and what's the other guy that played the guitar? Israel Houghton.
Because I thought it was Chris Brown too. It's actually one of the guys part of the group named Chris Brown.
I got
so geeked.
Thank you for that correction. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that correction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But bro, even Justin Bieber, like a year or two ago when he was at that big festival that. I can't think, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I can't think of the
name. It's a big festival, but the thing, Coachella.
Yeah.
Bro, Justin Bieber did a whole section, bro.
Yeah, worship.
Of worship music, bro. So, bro, I pray that happened for you. Like, bro, I pray that it happens for you because, bro. Like I said, your ministry just is such, you have to me, just by in the time that I've known you, you're humble, but not only that, bro, just your aura and your presence. I love people where you just see God, but the appearance isn't like an appearance that you would normally think.
Mm.
Like, I love worshipers that are out the box.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying, that don't contain, like, bro, you can walk up to somebody because, you know, you got on your skinny jeans and your shirt and your Vans or your J's, and you can still reach people, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not finna reach nobody in a three-piece suit, bro, with a lapel top.
Come on.
I'm just not finna do that.
And
like,
it's hot.
And it's hot. Like, why do that, bro? So, the fact that you are this 25-year-old young adult, you know what I'm saying, you married, you already know the levels and how ministry is set up. God first. Then, you know, your wife and your family. Then ministry, bro, you already got that down. Y'all, it's no doubt in my mind that we'd be seeing LaShawn Brown on bigger platforms within the next year, y'all. And you heard it here first.
I see it, bro.
When y'all see it, bro, just come back to Styling, Faith and Fashion, sit down with Styling Grace, and y'all gonna say we heard it on his show first. Not that it's not have already been spoken into your life, because I'm sure God has already given you affirmations concerning that. But bro, it's no doubt in my mind that you are going to be one of the biggest names in gospel, bro. God is going to use you in such a mighty way, bro. And I can just feel the anointing as I'm even saying that to you right now, bro. And I pray that collab happen for you, bro. I can just see it happening for you. And I'm excited, bro. And not only that, bro, you look like a Chris Brown.
I'm weak.
In a good way, though. You know what I'm saying?
Because I'm light-skinned, bro.
Bro, I'm sure you hear the jokes all the time.
Yeah,
but
I get the reference.
But it's amazing, y'all. I don't know. This was honestly one of the best episodes. I truly enjoyed this episode, LaShawn.
Yeah.
I thank you so much for tuning in. And just coming on this show, inviting me into your home to do this, bro.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate this so much. Like, this was such a big help to, gonna be a big help to my viewers, bro. Where can people follow you on Facebook, IG, or any other social media platform out there?
Yeah, so it's the same on all social media, LaShawn Brown Jr., L-A-S-H-O-N Brown Jr., that's on Instagram, Facebook. I'm trying to get on TikTok, man.
Yes, I'm finna ask you, have you been doing that?
They been telling me to get on TikTok, man. I'm not a trendy guy. You know what I'm saying? I tend to, like, not try to hop on stuff. Bandwagon. I'm not a bandwagon.
But you know what, bro? One thing about TikTok, because I wasn't feeling it either at first, but when the pandemic started, everybody had a TikTok.
Yeah.
So, I was like, it's old quick. But, bro, I started doing, like, all the little challenges and stuff like that. But, bro, I found my niche on TikTok. And out the blue, bro, one of my videos on TikTok went viral.
Yeah.
Like, in 10 minutes, like, you, because I don't do it anymore because it just got old to me quick.
Mm-hmm.
But in 10 minutes, my video got, like, 4.3K views, bro, and hearts. So, I was like, oh. And what happened was, I just found my niche. Like, I just started getting on there, doing this thing called 60-second Bible study, which I ended up converting it to Instagram, which has been doing really amazing on my personal IG. But I think, you know, with you being a worship leader and a husband, you know, and just an amazing friend and brother to so many people, I think you will be able to find your niche and reach, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people. So, I think that's one of those things. And then it's like little fun stuff to do on there.
Yeah, I'm hop on it, man. I said, so I finally created an account. So, it's the same thing, LaShawn Brown.
LaShawn
Jr.
Brown, so, that's awesome, bro.
Yeah, man. But yeah, it's the same on all of those. And follow me on Spotify, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can follow artists and stuff, receive notifications when they upload new music.
Awesome.
This new music about to be crazy, bro.
Bro, I can't wait. You had a song on your Instagram page where you were talking about, like, doing stuff daily, or I can't really remember, but I wrote under there, like, bro, when are you going to release this? Like, I can't think of what it is in a good
part. Was it recent?
I don't know how recent it was. Thank God this is, like, people can't see us, so we can be on our phones. So, I'm totally y'all finna go to his page, but it was something dope. I can't think of what it was, but you were just talking about some good stuff, so I know it's gonna be equivalent to what you're getting ready to release. I know the music is gonna be absolutely amazing and dope, and I, like I said before, I thank you for just accepting my invitation and doing this show for me, bro.
Man, we family, bro.
I appreciate you, bro.
Thanks for having me on, bro. It's humbling, man.
No problem at all.
It was encouraging, man. For real.
Awesome. Yeah. And y'all, just stay tuned to everything that I got going on. I'm getting ready to release the website. I had to push it back like a month because, bro, I'm the type of person. I have like a whole team that I work with. Shout out to Elijah McGill, who is my creative director over my whole business.
Dope.
And just, I'm the type of person, LaShawn, like if it's not right, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And like, I probably went through over 60 designs, bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because I'm an indecisive person.
Yeah.
And not only that, I'm like you, I have to deal with what God wants me to deal with.
Yeah.
So last year, since you've seen me, bro, I had kind of went through like a rough patch in my business, bro, where I had just got super uninspired. You know what I'm saying? I just didn't have the zeal to do it anymore. And it was a little after like this pandemic started, after I went through sickness and all of that, to realize like you have to be faithful over a few things so that God can make you ruler over many.
Come on, man.
And I had to learn to be faithful to Style and Grace because it's bigger than just fashion, bro. It's ministry. Like for me growing up, like I had got accepted into design school. My degree is in graphic production technology.
Okay.
So I had ended up, you know, I always used to want to design suits and I always used to want to have like a big collection of just fashion merchandise, which one day I still want to get there.
Yeah.
But you know, bro, my idol was Karl Lagerfeld, who was the designer of Chanel and Fendi for over like 5 decades, bro, 50 years. So I always was just so inspired by his just passion to be able to look at something and pull inspiration from a leaf or a bookshelf. You know, I was just so inspired by that. And not only that, he's still one of my biggest inspiration, you know, rest his soul. But you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When God saved me, to me, it was much more bigger than a suit or a pair of jeans or a gown, bro. He was like, do something where people can have hope. And, you know, that's where the t-shirt thing came about. And I had to get back to that. I had kind of lost it. And I just got tired with it. And then one day God was like, no, return back to your first love with this thing. So to say all of that, I can't wait for them to see everything. Like, it's dope. And not only that, once I release the website, bro, like maybe a couple weeks after, I'm going to be releasing new merch. So y'all, the merch is fire. And I think LaShawn can attest to that.
I got a sneak peek, y'all.
Yeah, he did. Like, this, he gonna be one of my brand ambassadors, so, you know, it's gonna be lit, and I think this time around, to everybody that has supported Style and Grace since 2015, I really think that y'all are gonna kinda enjoy and love everything that I got going on, so, man, thank you all for tuning in to yet another episode of Faith and Fashion Sit Down. It's your boy, Dellen Walker, CEO and founder of Style and Grace, and until next time, God bless you all. Peace and love.